OK。
Morning, everyone. Good to be back. Good to see all your faces again. You all know that this place is very special to me, and I love you all, and I'm very thankful for your love towards me. Before we begin this morning, let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, how thankful we are that you've once again given us this time and place to gather with your people to hear your word, oh Lord. And we do trust that, as you promise, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, gathered by thy gracious and sovereign arm, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, there you are in the midst of them, Lord. And we pray that you would do as you said. Oh Lord, we pray that you would honor your word and meet with us. Oh Lord, you know our shortcomings, you know our heartaches, you know our afflictions. Lord, you appointed them for us and for our good. We pray that you would now block out all distractions out of our mind, Lord, that you would enable us to come into this place and worship you, to concentrate on Christ and worship him. Oh Lord, give us ears to hear your precious and irresistible voice, eyes to see you by faith. Oh Lord, how precious is that gift of faith and that only you can give. Lord, give us faith to believe your word, Lord. Give me the words to speak. Bless these messages. Receive our songs of praise, Lord. Receive our prayers for Christ's sake. Lord, bless us in spite of us. Forgive us for our sins and have mercy upon us. For it's in Christ's precious name we ask these things. Amen. For this Bible study, it'll probably be very short, but it's a very important question that I want to try to answer. Very simple, very basic, yet very important. Why did Christ come? Why did Christ come? 2,000 years ago, the Son of God came into this world, was born in a manger in Bethlehem. And most people who call themselves Christians, they'll agree with you on that fact. The fact that Christ came into this world, that historic, undisputable fact that Jesus Christ came into this world, is not the point of contention. The point of contention is why he came. Why did Christ come? It's kind of like Paul said, that the gospel is not just that Christ died. You know, I'm not just splitting hairs here by using these words. The gospel is not the fact that the historic, indisputable fact that Christ died. The gospel is how that Christ died according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. How that Christ died according to the scriptures. And the question I want to try to answer this morning is, why did Christ come? Why did he come? And you talk to most people who have some kind of profession of faith, and I dare say, as many people as you ask, that's about how many different answers you're going to get. Who knows what they might say in trying to answer that question. But this morning, I want to look at a few very simple passages of Scripture where Christ himself tells us plainly, very plainly, why he came. And I'll be very brief. Turn with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. In Hebrews 10 verse 7, Christ says, "Lo," and that word "lo" is the same word as that word "behold." Behold, lo, this is a glorious thing. I come. This is why Christ came. I come because in the volume of the book, in the volume of this book, this blessed word of God that we have this morning, in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. And he was specifically talking about the Old Testament. But we know that, because at that time, they didn't have the New Testament. They were the New Testament. But we know that this book, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, it's all about the Lord Jesus. And I never get tired of repeating that. God's people never get tired of hearing that. You know, when we read God's Word, we would profit greatly with keeping that one single fact in front of our eyes. This is talking about my Savior. This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a rule book for Christian living. It's about Him. And this is why Christ came. I come to do thy will, O God. And that's the first answer to the question, why did Christ come? Why did he come? To do the will of the Father. Every thought that Jesus thought was holy and about, he was always about his Father's business. Isn't that what he said when his parents, Joseph and Mary, they thought they lost him when he was just a boy? I think he was about 12 years old according to the flesh. And they said, what mean you to make us sick in our hearts, to cause us to worry so much? We thought we lost you. And he said, know ye not, as a 12-year-old boy, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? Why did Christ come? To do the will of the Father. And Christ himself said, I love this, I do always those things that please the Father. Every thought he had, every word he spoke, every step he took was to accomplish and satisfy the will of his Father. What a glorious Savior we have. Oh, I can't honor God's will. I can't do God. I'm a failure, but not my Savior. He walked perfectly before the Father, and I did in him. I did in him. And here we see, what is the will of the Father? This is why I wanted to turn to John chapter 6. If Christ came into the world to do the will of the Father, what is the will of the Father? Next time someone asks you, what's the will of God? What is the will of God? Turn to this passage and show them. John chapter 6, look at verse 7. Christ says, or verse 37, I'm sorry. John 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down. Here's why he came. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose no thing. I should lose no thing, not a single one of them, but should raise it up again at the last day. Every step he took was to fulfill the will of his Father. And I'm so thankful that we have this passage of Scripture, because we can always turn to it and reaffirm in our hearts with the aid and guidance of the Holy Spirit of God what the will of our God is. All that the Father giveth me, all those elect few sheep, those sinners that God chose before the foundation of the world, unconditionally, without any regard to anything in them, without any regard to what they might or might not do in time, but with a reason altogether within himself. It pleased the Lord to make you his people. With a reason altogether within himself, he chose a specific, elect, blessed group of people. And Christ says, all those sheep which the Father gave me, I will lose nothing. They shall all come to me. They shall all come to me. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That means that God's people can never be lost. Why? Because we don't keep ourselves. We're kept by the power of God. He who hath begun. You see, it's Christ who begins the good work in us and performs it till the day of his second coming. He who hath begun a good work in you, he shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He shall see the travail of his soul, and he shall be satisfied. Oh, I'm so, you know, read John chapter 10 when you go home, and it's correspondent with this passage of Scripture and how we see how all of God's sheep will come to him. Because Christ explains himself in John chapter 10 as the great shepherd of the sheep. And he says the same thing he says here in John chapter 6, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. He says, my sheep, not all men, my sheep, they hear my voice. I've never heard his voice audibly. I've heard him a lot louder than that, though. I've heard him within my very soul. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. A stranger's voice they will not follow. How often have we heard someone say something that's contrary to God's word, and you just You know, you just, that's not the voice of my Savior. Why? Because a stranger's voice the sheep will not follow. But His voice. That soft, still, quiet voice that speaks. Oh, they hear that voice and they follow Him. They follow Him. And this is God's will then. This is why Christ came, to fulfill the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is that all that Christ was given in eternity shall come to Him. In time, through the instrumentality of the preaching of the gospel, when they hear, at God's appointed time of love, He will call them. He will speak to them by name. I love how salvation is a personal thing. Salvation doesn't flow through blood relation. You know, people think that's where most of that false doctrine of infant baptism comes from. Well, because they're the children of Christian parents, somehow that they're nearer to the door of salvation, so to speak, than someone who's not really not of blood. Read John chapter 1. They're not born of blood, nor of the will of man, but of the will of my Father. Before I move on, I want to mention this too. That glorious example. When Christ, again, showing how Christ did come into this world to do the will of the Father. You remember what happened in Gethsemane. He began to be exceeding sorrowful and very heavy. Heavy in anticipation of being made sin for His people. Heavy in anticipation of being forsaken of His Father, that He might reconcile us to His Father. And He said, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thy will. Thy will be done." You see, Christ humbled Himself. He was in... I just want you to think about that. Christ Jesus was in glory with His Father. And He came down from glory and stepped into a world that hated Him and suffered the contradiction of sinners against Himself every day. And lived among a people of unclean lips, just to do the will of His Father. He humbled Himself. He was obedient unto death. Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, obedient unto death? Yes, even the death of the cross, the most shameful death a man could die. Why did Christ come? To do the will of the Father. And this is the will of the Father which hath sent me, that all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. What comfort. What comfort for God's people. Why did Christ come? Number two. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Number two, Christ came to fulfill all the law and the prophets. He came to fulfill all the law and the prophets. Matthew chapter 5, look at verse 17. He says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law." You see, He was speaking to these Jews, these Pharisees who were stout followers of Moses' law. We be Moses' disciples, they said in John chapter 9. We're followers of Moses. And He said, "Think not that I'm..." Because He knew what they were thinking. He knew that what they were thinking is what most men think today when they hear the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. The teaching of salvation by grace. "Oh, you're an antinomian. You're against the law. You tell men that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. That God's people are saved by the obedience and faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ alone, and not by their obedience to the law or their attempts at keeping it." And they say, "Well, you hate God's law. You're against the law." And so Christ says, verse 17 of Matthew chapter 5, "Think not." I know what you're thinking. "Think not. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy." Here's why Christ came. "I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. This is why Christ came. Because we couldn't keep God's law. We've never kept one of God's law, but Christ, but this man, he kept every jot and tittle of God's law. What does that mean? The jot and tittle. It's the same thing as in our English language to say crossing your T's and dotting your I's. The very most insignificant parts of the letter. He came to fulfill every jot and tittle. And he says, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law. This is why Christ came, to fulfill all the law and the prophets. He was an antinomian. Do we make void then the law of God through faith? Nay, rather we establish the law. We establish the law. And that's what Christ did. He fulfilled all the law's demands. And he fulfilled all that the prophets spoke of. You remember those two disciples in Luke 24, they walk on their walk to Emmaus. This was after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were very sad. You know, this one who we thought, you can imagine how sad we are. This one who we thought would establish a kingdom in Israel again, he's died. We don't know where he is now. All our hope is dashed in pieces. They were sad. And Christ met with them, but at first they didn't know it was the Lord Jesus Christ. But he met with them and he said, why are you so sad? And they said, are you a stranger in it? Have you not heard of the things that transpire here? And he said, what things? And he goes on, and you can read that discourse for yourself in Luke 24. But he goes on to say, oh ye fools, that's me. Oh ye fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And he says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? This is why Christ came into the world. His crucifixion was not some last minute stand. It wasn't plan B. It wasn't because God couldn't save men some other way and that men wouldn't have Jesus, so Christ had to die. No, this was always the will of God the Father. And this is what all the Old Testament law and the prophets spoke of. You can read it so often. I think the first thing I think of is Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. You know, you think, why was Christ silent during his scourging in the high priest's, where Caiaphas was the high priest? Why didn't he respond and defend himself? That he might fulfill that place where it says, he was led as a sheep is dumb before her shearers, and he opened not his mouth. You see, this is why Christ came, to fulfill all those. He fulfilled every one of them. Every one of them. And not only all the Old Testament, not only the law and the prophets, but all the Old Testament types. Here he is. You see, the Old Testament was saying, someone's coming. Someone is coming. Someone, it's the Messiah, it's the seed of the woman. Someone's coming. The New Testament, Christ is here. It's him. It's the Jews said, we're Moses' disciples. And Christ said, no, you're not. No, you're not. Because if you were Moses' disciples, you would believe me. For he wrote of me. How did Moses write of him? You can see by faith, very simply, the burning bush. How that bush was burning with the fire of God, but the bush was not consumed. A picture of our Savior on the cross, how he consumed how the sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ, consumed the wrath of God and was not consumed. Noah's Ark. That's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. David, our king, who slayed Goliath with his own sword. That's the Lord Jesus Christ slaying Satan by his own means to crucify the Savior. That's the means that God used to save his people. He is our great high priest. He is Aaron. He is our Moses. He is the Ark of the Covenant. He is that sacrificial Paschal Lamb. And this is why Christ came. He established perfect righteousness for us. Oh, think not that I'm come to destroy the law. I'm not come to destroy the law. I'm not an antinomian. I'm come to fulfill the law. Why did Christ come? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9.
Look at verse 9. Matthew 9, verse 9. "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me." Who is this man? Jesus of Nazareth. He said, "Follow me." And he arose and he followed him. "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples," they didn't go to him, they wouldn't dare go to Christ, they went to his disciples. "And when the Pharisees saw it, that he ate with publicans and sinners, they say unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" Why is he eating with these ungodly people? Why is he eating with these helpless, hopeless, sick, dead dogs? But then Jesus, he wouldn't even let his disciples answer. He spoke for them. "But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Here's why Christ came. For I am not come to call the righteous. I am come to call sinners to repentance." Why did Christ come? To call sinners to repentance. So the only question that we're left to ask is, are you a sinner? Are you a sinner? People say, well, if Christ died only for His elect, if Christ died only for His people, and He did, what hope do I have of salvation? The issue is not, are you elect? The issue is, are you a sinner? If you're a sinner, then you have every right to believe that Jesus Christ died for you. Why? Because Christ said, this is why I came into the world. To call sinners, not good people, not the self-righteous Pharisees, not the lawmongers, not the Pharisees, not the scribes, not the wise men of the world. Not the somebodies. He came to save the nobodies. He came to save the dead dog sinners. He came to save the lawbreakers. He came to save those who are poor in spirit, the brokenhearted, those who are held captive by their sin. I'm not come to call righteous, but sinners to repentance. I love that passage in Luke chapter 4 when the Lord stands up for to read, it says, in the temple. They were having a scripture reading. And the Lord Jesus Christ stood up and read from the book of Isaiah. And he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to preach the gospel to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to give sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he sat down and says, all they that were in the temple, all their eyes were fixed on him, because they knew he spoke of himself. Oh, this is why Christ came. This is why Christ came, to preach the gospel to the poor in spirit, the brokenhearted, the sinners. "This is a faithful saying," Paul said, "and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." I have no other argument. I have no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. Self-righteous people hate free grace, don't they? You can read it. We saw that a few months ago in Luke 4, how after he preached that God's grace was sovereign, they took him up to cast him off the cliff in their city. That's not fair. Self-righteous people hate free grace, but it's the very thing God's people feed upon. It's the very thing that we've come here this morning to hear again. Oh Lord, speak to me by your free grace. Lord, speak to me. Why did Christ come? Number 4, He came to send a sword. You say, that's strange. He came to send a sword. How do we know that? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Look at verse 34. Think not. Here it is again. people are inclined to believe just the opposite of what he says. People say, oh, Jesus just wants everybody to get along. He just wants world peace. He just wants all of us to hold hands around and be all spiritual and wave our hands. And let's hear what Christ has to say about it. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Why did Christ come? He came to establish peace with his people. We saw that in Colossians chapter 1. He has made peace through the blood of his cross, reconciling all things to himself. And in John chapter 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. I know it's prone to be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And he goes on to say, my peace I give you, not as the world giveth. Not hope and peace and comfort in the things that you might have or the things that you hope to be, the things, your big dreams, the American dream, as they say. Oh, I don't give you peace like that. I don't give you peace with corruptible things. I give you peace that no man can give you. The peace of knowing that you are just in the eyes of God. That God's not angry with you. But he did come to send a sword, didn't he? You know, I used to get along with my family members, my relatives, pretty well. By the grace of God, it seems that the Lord has been pleased to save both my parents and my older brother. And I'm very thankful for that. But my grandparents, my cousins, who I was always very close to, my aunts and uncles, who were like brothers and sisters to me too, we got along very well. Something happened one day. I spoke about the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, it didn't seem that we were so close. Why? Because I'm not come to send peace on the earth, but a sword. He's going to bust up some families. Whenever you read the Word of God, every time God had mercy on one and passed by another, there was always not only division, but there was strife and opposition. I think of Cain and Abel. Cain and Abel. Why did Cain kill his brother Abel? Well, the Bible tells us because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. And he killed them. Isaac and Ishmael. There was strife, wasn't there? The Lord said, Abraham, cast out Ishmael and thy handmaid Hagar. Cast them out. This is not thy son. This is not your son. But he that comes out of your own loins, Isaac, this is thy son. And there was strife, wasn't there, between Isaac and Ishmael. Jacob and Esau. Strife between them. The infants warred against each other in Rebekah's womb, didn't they? This is another picture of the old and the new man. But we see it over and over again. This gospel. Woe when all men shall speak well of you. That isn't to say that we go around trying to make people angry. I'm not suggesting that in any way. But you preach the gospel to people who hate God. And all men hate God because the carnal mind is enmity against God. You preach the gospel faithfully. You tell them about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you, and opposition will arise. The gates of hell will go on offense. They will do everything to lead you astray. Saul of Tarsus, when did his trouble start? When he profited in the Jews' religion above his equals? No. His trouble started when God saved him, didn't he? When the Lord revealed himself on the road to Damascus. After that, he said, I will show him. What did Christ say? What a peaceable life of health, wealth, and prosperity he shall live. I will show him what great things he must suffer for my name's sake. The angel in the book of Revelation revealed to John the innumerable host of God's saints in heaven. And he said, these are they which came out of much tribulation. Ye must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of heaven. This is why Christ came. Oh, in this world you shall have trouble, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. I've overcome the world. Why did Christ come? He came for judgment. He came for judgment. Turn with me to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. Look at verse 39. And this is after the Lord had just given sight to a man who was born blind. You can read at the beginning of John chapter 9, there was a man who was born blind. He didn't just become blind after he was born. He was born blind, and the Lord met him, and in mercy he spat on the ground and put the clay all over his eyes, and he began to see. And this is after all that. John chapter 9, verse 39, he says, "And Jesus said," here's why Christ came, "for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." You could read it like this: "That they which see not might see, and they which think they see," which think they see, "which are proud in their wisdom and their knowledge, might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also? You're telling us that we're blind? We interpret the scriptures. We're Moses' disciples." It was once said that if there were two people that would go to heaven, it would be a scribe and the other would be a Pharisee. "We're Abraham's children. We're good people. We're disciples of the law. Are we blind also? Are we blind also? I was born into a Christian family. I've been told the truth all my life. I made a decision for Jesus. You're telling me all that's a lie? Are we blind also? If you were blind, then you'd have no sin. But because you say we see, that's why your sin remaineth." Why did Christ come into the world? For judgment. That those blind sinners might be given sight. Might be given sight. And that those who think they see might be made blind. Oh, the Lord said, "Father, I thank Thee. I thank Thee that Thou hast hidden these things from the wise and the prudent." God's not revealed His gospel to the wise and the prudent. How thankful we ought to be that He's revealed it to us. He said, "I thank Thee, Father, that Thou hast not revealed these things to the wise and the prudent, but Thou hast revealed them unto babes." Unto babes. Unto nobodies. Unto insignificant, helpless infants. Unto my sheep. That's who those babes are. God's people. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? I find it amazing. You see some of these young believers who the Lord has been gracious to save. Some very young, 12, 13 years old. And they know more about this book than Dr. So-and-so. That Pharisee, that scribe who spent all his life in theology. The doctrine of divinity. You name anyone. Billy Graham, the most popular one. Our children, whom the Lord has saved, know more about this book, know more about who God is. And I say more, I mean, they're the only, those other people, they don't know God at all. But they know more than all these wise scribes and Pharisees. Oh, hath God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? He's revealed the gospel unto babes. Unto babes. And that's why Christ came. All right, last but not least, Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Let's read verse 1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us." What is that sin? The sin of unbelief. And let us run our race with patience, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And here it is. Why did Christ come? Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why did Christ come? Why did He suffer contradiction of sinners against Himself every day? Why is it that He humbled Himself from His lofty throne in heaven and came to a place where He had nowhere to lay His head? Why was He spit on and scourged and crucified? And why did He do all these things? Why did Christ come? For the joy that was set before Him. You think, what joy? What joy? Oh, you look at His suffering, His agony in Gethsemane. You read in Lamentation chapter 1, Christ speaking prophetically through the prophet, "Look unto my sorrow and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger." You think, Christ Himself, He said He's a man of sorrows. Oh, what a name for our Savior, the man of sorrows. You think, what joy is there in that? That where I am, there you may be also. Why did Christ come? He came for the joy that was set before Him, that He might reconcile all things to Himself, that He might save every one of His sheep, that He might save that which was lost. Why did Christ come? To do the will of the Father. Why did Christ come? To fulfill all the law and the prophets. Why did Christ come? To send a sword. Why did Christ come? To call sinners to repentance. Why did Christ come? For judgment. Why did Christ come? For the joy that was set before Him. All right, let's take a break.